Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. We're going to hear an interview that we recorded earlier in the week with the lovely Bronwyn Rich. Bronwyn is an accredited trainer from MHFA and with her team has delivered training to personnel at many prestigious companies. They specialise in empowering wellbeing and mental health. Let's hear from Bronwyn and continue the discussion about health.
In a moment.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show, Bronwyn Rich of This Way Up Wellbeing. Bronwyn, you were last on the show quite a few months ago, and it was a pleasure to have you on then. And in dealing with what we're dealing with today, mental health and wellbeing in the workplace, I immediately thought of talking to you again because you are a professional in that field. So why don't we kick off by you telling us a bit about you and your organisation?
Thanks, Paul, and thanks for inviting me back on. It was great last time, and I'm really looking forward to this session with you as well. So This Way Up Wellbeing, we deal with mental health and wellbeing in the workplace, but also in communities and with schools and organisations that work with children and young people.
Right. We
deliver a lot of multi-agency workforce training to managers and staff and all sorts of different business needs, businesses that are affected, because mental health affects obviously everybody.
So
I know you're focusing on workplace mental health. So yeah, what we like to do is take an organisational approach to mental health and wellbeing. So right. It's like a holistic approach, looking at prevention of poor mental health and mental illness. So looking at those kind of strategies that organisations can use to actually prevent mental health issues from sort of escalating. Also sort of looking at interventions, so looking at how to identify people that may be experiencing difficulties and then making the actual interventions around how do we make the workplace a healthier place for us to thrive and be the best version of ourselves and be productive and collaborative and all of those good things. So we kind of like look at support programs, at what the workplace might need to do in terms of like any trigger points they may have that are causing particular mental illness in their workforce. Obviously we bring our whole selves to work, so it's also about kind of what's happening for people in their personal life will have an impact on how they are in the workplace and vice versa. So we sort of take that approach if we bring our whole selves to work. So we work with looking at questionnaires with staff about, kind of what's happening for them, workloads, demands on them, that kind of thing. So
sure.
That's what we do, and we provide professional training to qualify people to become mental health first aiders.
Okay. All right. Let's kind of talk about a couple of those things, because you've raised some really interesting issues there. First and foremost, I'm making an assumption here, and maybe you've got some data on this. Society has been such in the last few years that stress and mental health issues at work has been a growing issue anyway. But do you think that's been exacerbated a lot by the pandemic and the lockdown?
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. I also sort of do some training for leadership and management, and we've just been working on a virtual how to manage teams virtually.
Yeah.
And what we're finding is that for some people, the challenges of the environment for them working from home, the fact that people are trying to juggle diverse issues in terms of maybe caring for children, for parents, they may have socioeconomic challenges where they're required to work from home, but they may be challenged in terms of things like some people don't even actually have access to the internet. These are really, really basic needs that we just assume every employee has, but there are a lot of other factors that are impacting on people in their mental health and well-being, and it's the isolation. And then we're looking at things that they call it now Zoom fatigue, because actually it's not healthy, or it's not part of our natural way of being to sit in front of a screen all day. People are not taking the breaks they used to when they're in the office, because they're sort of, it's expected that you'll be available all the time because you're in your home. And this Zoom fatigue is really about that we, as human beings, we're obviously three-dimensional, not one-dimensional. So we kind of pick on non-verbal cues. That's how our brain assesses information and, you know, that feedback loop we have to ourselves. And what's been happening is that we are now becoming much more focused on looking for non-verbal cues sort of subconsciously, which is a drain on our natural, the way that our sort of brain works. And there's part of that is people realize that they're being watched. So this whole thing about, you know, being on camera all the time. There's a lot for people. People maybe that their workplace may have been a place of safety for some people. They may not be safe in the home environment. They may have a disability that they, you know, that whereby in the office they had the correct chair, the correct screen, the correct desk, reasonable adjusted for them. And now, you know, that they're without these things. So, you know, it has impacted on a lot of people, and their mental health has definitely been challenged as a result.
Absolutely. A huge number of interesting points you raised there, Bronwyn. Going right back to what you said earlier about people at work, their mental state, their well-being is a combination of not just work, it's their home issues as well. And that's obvious, you know, it's obvious because it's a human thing, isn't it? We don't switch off our worries the minute we walk into work. You know, if we're having relationship difficulties or children difficulties or financial difficulties or housing difficulties, we don't forget them at 9 o'clock and then remember them again at 5 o'clock. They're with us all day. And of course, the point that you raised on top of that, which is even more important, is for a lot of people at the moment during lockdown, there is no differentiation between home and work. It's the same place. And you raised some good issues about that as well. On top of that, of course, is also those people that don't really have the facility in terms of space to work at home. So they're working in a confined space. They may have kids and animals running around and distracting them. It can be highly distracting and highly disorientating.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I wanted to kind of explore with you, if we can, is you mentioned that part of what you do in terms of leadership training and doing workshops for organisations is you try to help people identify trigger points. I wondered if you could give us an overview of the kind of things that you would look for.
Okay, so in terms of trigger points, it's, we know that the Health and Safety Executive has given some guidance around, you know, good workplace behaviours and values. And we often find that some of the triggers are where there are high demands in a job, but the person has low levels of decision-making ability. So they're giving a lot of responsibility, but actually they don't have much power and control. So we would be looking at things like the demands of the job and, you know, the power and control that they have over their workload, those types of things. And the kind of, you know, are there allowances for their voice to be heard about the types of work that they're doing? Are people sort of taking breaks? And now we've got this whole thing about, which COVID has really made it respectable for people to work at home, but there's this whole thing about in the past where we've wanted to work agile, and a lot of organisations have really embraced that agile working and trusting their staff members. But we know that for some staff, they feel like they're maybe being micromanaged, and the trust is is not there. So that's the kinds of sort of things that we'd be looking at is how much autonomy people have. You know, how are the communications? And as we know that most people apparently don't leave their jobs, they relationships, quality of relationships within the organisation, and things like staff absences, things like this. And then you've got things like presenteeism, so where somebody's actually very physically present at work, but they're not productive. So it's just they're like going through the motions, you know? Sure. Yeah. And those are the kinds of things that we'd be looking at amongst a lot of other sorts of types of things.
Okay, that's really cool. And right up front, you hit on something that's very close to my heart, purely in a business management function, not least of which the mental health issues of it, which is responsibility and authority for people at work. For me, it's one of the big failings that we still have with so many people, especially as a customer. If you deal with a call center or something like that, you know, most of the people that work in a call center are very personable, people-friendly people.
Yeah.
But if they're prevented by their own systems from helping the customers, that must be incredibly frustrating as a place to work. And you hear it so often, don't you, when you speak to someone in a call center and they go, well, no, I know what you mean, but computers say no. And I just don't understand why we still have big organizations that operate like that. By now, they must have learned that it doesn't work. But presumably it's a money issue more than anything else. I don't know. But I just find that as a customer, even very frustrating. If I was working in that environment, I'd rip my hair out if I had any. It just drives you nuts that you can't help anybody because you've got a load of stupid systems that won't let you help anyone. Yeah. So, I can quite see that as being a major issue in people's well-being at work and how they feel about the job that they're doing. Apart from educating management, and it's a management issue, it's a management and process issue, apart from educating them on why it's just such a ridiculous thing to do from almost every point of view, I don't really understand how we get past it, but so many organizations still insist on doing things that way. I get all the things that you've mentioned as potential trigger points. When you go into an organization to talk about these things, I'm not asking you to name organizations, although we might do later. what kind of response do you get from management when you raise these issues?
I think generally probably the organisations that we work with are the ones that want to make positive changes.
They want to do something, yeah, yeah.
And so I guess it's a bit of a captive audience.
Yeah, yeah.
They realise that there's a link between, happy, healthy, thriving staff and productivity. So they want to make that investment. And the other thing is, a lot of it sometimes can be just a simple thing about ambiguity of roles, where people are not really clear on actually what their role is and things like that. So some of it's quite things that it's having those conversations and making the time and space to have those conversations, as you said, and speaking to people that are actually doing the work to find out what the challenges are, and they will tell you what they are. And big organisations that have actually allowed their staff to come up with finding solutions, like solution focused problem solving, and saying, well, this, and giving them some autonomy on how they think things should move forward and changes that could be made, have been much more successful. Making an investment in their staff.
Yeah. I guess there's also another side of this as well that we mustn't lose sight of. But, of course, there will be some people at work that don't want responsibility. They want a process. They want to just sit there and follow a process, know what to do next, not have to think about it, not have to take any responsibility because they feel more comfortable like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, there is definitely, different styles. We're all motivated by different things, intrinsic and extrinsic factors that will, you know, motivate us and things like that. And there's, you know, a place for everybody to contribute. I guess we all need those people that are super process driven. Yeah. I guess it's just, you know, making the skills fit the role as opposed to people being in the wrong soil, really.
Absolutely. But that's probably a massive, I'm making an assumption here, but to me, that would be a massive part of starting the whole process of being uncomfortable, is if, you know, if you're in the wrong role for your personality and your skills and talents, then you're always going to be feeling uncomfortable. And the more that unfolds in the wrong way, the more uncomfortable and the more issues that you personally face.
Yeah, absolutely. And that in itself can be, you know, cause a lot of stress. Hmm. And, you know, stress is not a mental health issue. Stress is something that we all experience, and it can be quite motivating. But when it becomes excessive, it can have adverse effects and then turn into a mental health disorder. So you're quite right, Paul, noticing when people are struggling and kind of, you know, thinking about people having their own insight and awareness, as you said, when things aren't working out, and maybe thinking about, you know, alternative roles or where their skills can be used. You know, I think this has been a massive learning curve, this whole COVID.
Yes, instance, absolutely. Yeah.
Going online, like, you know, people such as ourselves that have, you know, used to face-to-face people, and everything is just, you know, being so reliant on technology. Mm. People have had to adapt and learn the new skills. And I actually remember, Paul, it was actually on one of your events that you were talking about jobs of the future, that they will be jobs that we've never even envisaged. And that was something you taught me and brought my attention to. And I think during this episode, that's what's happened. There'll be opportunities for people to move away from their current roles in some way and think, let me do something different. Or maybe people will recognise that, no, I don't like the new normal. I want to go back to how it was. Thank you very much.
So, yeah, sure. It's funny, isn't it? I mean, because a lot of us are resilient to change. You know, we don't like massive change. And what's happened to us has been forced on us, you know, by circumstances. And we've all kind of gone, yeah, okay, well, we understand why we're doing this. It's for our own protection. So we've kind of taken it on board. And although a lot of people now are starting to kick back after 4 months and going, well, I'm not happy about this anymore. But of course, what we've done is squashed change into a very short space of time. And that in itself can cause dilemmas, because, you know, you're just being forced to do something and you can't even keep up with it. One of the other things I wanted to mention, I've noticed this myself, as I've got older, and I'm now very old, as I've got older, I deal with stress far less better than I used to. I get far more stressed. I mean, a lot of it is exactly what you said earlier as well. Especially at the moment, I'm spending 9-10 hours a day sat in front of this computer. I end up with bruxism, clenching my jaws, grinding my teeth. I have headaches for days on end, and they're all just tension headaches because I'm sat plonked in front of this computer all day. And of course, when that starts to happen to you, that's not necessarily a mental health issue in itself, but it starts to affect your mental ability to cope with what you're doing. And then it starts to pile one on top of the other. You know, if you're uncomfortable physically, then you become distracted mentally, and then things start to pile on top of you. And I wonder if you had any thoughts about that.
Yeah, so I think that's massive, like what you've said, and you know, it's really interesting. I don't want to make light of it, but when we were doing some like staff engagement work, and we would be asking, you know, what do you think's gone well and what hasn't gone well, and during this whole COVID as an employee, and you know, so many staff, the first thing they were asking for their chairs. They were, all I want is my chair from the office, because do you know? And it was just like everywhere I went, it was this theme about the chair. And I never knew chairs were that. Obviously, they're important because we need to sit on them. But I didn't, you know, like you said, it can bring tension into the body, and you know, and then once you have like a stress within the physical self, obviously that can cause pain, yeah. which can then be really distracting and lack of you can cause lack of concentration, all sorts of things. So it's really important to get up and move around and do all the things that we would have done pre-COVID. We would give ourselves the right to go and have a walk or something, or to, you know, to go and do something different or have a cup of tea. But I think there's now a pressure that we are fully accessible 100% of the time. And even just sitting down on the screen, looking at the screen, is actually a big weight on the body. If you have to position everything correctly, and we wouldn't normally be in this situation for that long. So yeah. You're right, it's really important to recognize and to be kind to ourselves and give us notice where the tension is in the body, because it could also be stress. Because when we start to feel stressed, we sometimes tense up. So we might start to feel that our muscles tensing, because as you said, we're having a very physical response. You know, and anxiety and stress is biological. So the brain is sending chemicals to the body that were, you know, stress signals to the body, to our adrenal systems kicked in. There's toxic chemicals just running around our system, and we don't have the ability to dislodge them, because we can't do our fight, flight or fight very well, because we're stuck trapped into a seat. Where really what we might need to do is just get up and walk away. And that's what we would have done in real life in a meeting. If someone's irritating you or whatever, you can get up and go to the loo.
Yep.
But now we have to wait for someone to give us permission online before we can get up and have a tinkle.
Yeah, absolutely. Back in my day, of course, we used to go for a fag break.
Yeah.
And many years ago. No, you're absolutely right. And although all of those things that we've discussed aren't mental health issues outright, a lot of them are underlying, or the start point of making those hidden mental health issues worse, I would guess.
Yeah, definitely. They're the drivers. And as you said, we can't really underestimate, because it's an accumulation. As you said, you know, these things are affecting us because of our changes in our work, but also our whole lifestyles have changed. And as you said before, you know, I used to say to people, when you leave the office or you leave your place of work, wherever that is, have a place of demarcation. So it might be a shop that you walk past. It might be the bus stop. It could be Tesco's or whatever, you know, other stores are available, but it could be wherever it is. Touch that point as you go by and say, right, my work's finished there. I'm leaving all my work stuff right there. And now I'm in home mode. I'm in my personal space, and I've left work behind, and I'm, until I log on or do what I need to do, that's done for the day or the weekend. But we, as you said, we don't have that, because our relaxation space has now in many occasions become our workspace. We don't have the demarcation to do so, and so it can feel quite intense for a lot of people, as you said, when they're juggling and sharing space with other people. You may have people that are also working from home that have got other needs. But that is really, really, and we've all seen the faux pas, haven't we? You know, the chap that took the shower, the man who, you know, had his boxer shorts on, and apparently somebody took their laptop into the toilet with them. So there's been all sorts of online faux pas that we've been privy to.
Yeah.
You know, so we are all under the spotlight.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, I guess we've all found out what it's like to be famous on the TV to some extent.
Yeah.
As you said earlier, you know, we're all living our lives in the spotlight of cameras and stuff like that. But Bronwyn, look, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for spending some time talking to us on the Business Bunker Show. If people want to find out more about you and your organisation, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
You can email us on, do you want me to give the email out? Or?
Yeah, give it out, and probably your website.
Okay. So the email is, it's quite convoluted. It's info@this-well-. way-up-being.co.uk.
Fantastic.
And yes, and we are our website. I can't remember the exact website, www whatever it is, but it's actually This Way Up Wellbeing.
Co.uk. There's a link to it on the radio website anyway. So if anybody wants to find out more about This Way Up Wellbeing, or about Bronwyn, or the work they do, or the workshops that they do, or the training courses that they do, or the help they provide, look on the Kent Business Radio website. There is a link to Bronwyn's website there, and you can find out all the contact details from the website.
Thank you.
Bronwyn, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you so much, and I hope your neck gets better.
Thank you.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
That was the lovely Bronwyn Witch. Bronwyn, I can't say it.
Bronwyn.
It's Bronwyn.
Yeah.
Rich.
It is quite a lot together if you say it quickly, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's got my mouth's full of plums as well. She's been throwing plums at me. Yeah.
It could be your thyroid, of course.
It could be. The lovely Bronwyn, anyway, from This Way Up Wellbeing. Do check them out. As I said, the link is on the website if you want to find out more about them. We've had loads more tweets coming in. Blimey, it is so busy today, but it's lovely. We do appreciate you all tweeting in. Where shall I go? Christina Butler, Jewel Sirkin, Business Bunker, would love a mention as love helping women who want to take off the masks they wear. And there's a website, christinayoung.co.uk, where you can find out more about what they do in terms of that. Tracy Ferguson has been on. The MHFA course is fantastic. I did the 2-day course to support my work with Prince's Trust. And she says, also totally agree, Re-Zoom fatigue and the impact of lockdown on everybody's mental well-being. Not having somewhere else to go to change the environment for some people can add more challenges. Absolutely true. Sarah Grant got the giggles over your bra comment.
Yeah,
and she says you need a good bra to hoist them up.
Well, she's an image consultancy, so I knew she'd get it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, no, actually, Sarah, it wasn't that. It was the opposite. They were too hoisted, and it was a very plunge push up. And I was wearing a very low dress, and I thought, no, this is wrong to go to the plumbers merchants afterwards. Mind you, I might get a discount.
You can well do, yeah. Everest Web Design, Vanilla Web, regarding the space and work mixing with home life, that's why I feel lucky enough to have a spare room that I can shut the door on after my work day at home. Absolutely, it makes all the difference if you've got the space to do these things as well. Athelbrad had been on. Office Junior Jaffa the dog is back from furlough and allowed in the office now. She's not going to bark on air.
Yeah, we have Jaffas in the studio, but not quite as nice.
Chris Hyde's been on. Interesting point raised by Bronwyn about the difference of being present and being productive. Home working for many has really highlighted this area during COVID. Absolutely right, Chris. He's also said, my dog likes to jump in when I'm doing radio too. And there's a picture of him and his dog on the radio.
I think it was Sunday, was National Dog Day or something. I was walking, so I couldn't really do pictures. But, I did the walk from, where did I go? Or to Konya along the river. It's absolutely beautiful.
Athelbrad have responded to Chris as well. They say there's a much greater risk of presenteeism when working from home because people think they need to be seen to be working longer hours to ensure they continue to add value to their role. Lots to learn on getting the balance right, particularly if working from home is going to be the new norm. Yeah, absolutely true.
I was thinking, well, you and I had a chat about it when we did our little lockdown catch-ups, but about all, you know, Boris squeaking and screaming that we've all now got to go back to the office because the city is suffering and the, you know, the towns. But I was just thinking, you know, these offices have got to diversify and have maybe some residential in them, some shops, and then keep some for co-working and, you know, popping in for hot desking and things like that.
Don't even get me started on that.
Well, what's happening?
I'll tell you in a second, but I want to read this because it's in a chain.
Okay.
Chris Hyde has said, one of my psychometric tools focuses directly on preferences between default and current role. This is a major point for individuals, but also for employers, as it radically affects productivity and employer retention. Absolutely.
What's your rant?
Basically, the government are now talking about putting a tax on online companies.
I know, that's disgusting.
It's just crap.
They need to think.
Well, but there's two points to that. They're trying to claim that online companies don't pay as much tax as a high street. It's just nonsense. I'm an online company in a high street. I pay more tax than my next door neighbour already. So it's just nonsense. And anyway, how does taxing something and putting the price up help retailers? It doesn't.
But not You've just that. What about the vulnerable that all through lockdown we were relying on deliveries, online deliveries?
But there's no sense in it at all because it doesn't help the people they purport to help.
No.
How does taxing somebody else help you run a retail business? There's only two things you can do to help run a retail business, which is reduce the cost, i.e. rent and rates.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also stop closing car parks so that people can actually come to a town centre and go shopping.
Yeah.
And they're the only two things. They're both the fault of the government and they're trying to pass the blame onto everybody else. And it's not acceptable.
It is not.
And I'm not happy about it.
I was actually horrified by that because, I mean, we all know that in the months we were in lockdown, we had to rely on deliveries online. We had the amazing local shops and things like that. But a lot of it was delivery.
Mm.
But, you know, imagine if you're at home in a wheelchair, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
It's mad. Madness. I don't think they really think these things through. They just sort of knee-jerk, don't they?
Talk about not thinking things through. We've got an obesity thing now that says that they don't want you to eat junk food.
Yeah.
But as from August, you can get 50% off of junk food.
Exactly. And they're going to be encouraging people to ride bikes and walk. Well, you know, we know these things. Do we need to be told to do it?
It's just the whole thing has just got
Well, don't
ridiculous.
Get me started on e-scooters and bikes, because where I live, you know, on the promenade, we're bombarded with them.
Mm.
You can't walk. Shall I read an email? Because I think
I've still got loads of tweets coming in, which is brilliant.
I think our blood pressure is raising.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is Frank Furness. He's a leading international sales and marketing expert. He's in the top percent of salespeople worldwide, and you can learn highly effective selling, staying in contact with, and finding customers. 29th of July. That's manana, I believe.
It's today.
Is it? It's today the 29th?
No, today's 28th, isn't it?
See,
you're right.
Why do you do that to me?
I made you think.
I was freaking. My hair stood on end. I've got things to do tomorrow. So it's manana, 29th of July, 11 to 12:30. You can book at bitesizeonline.co.uk. And whatever your business strengths, you need to shout out about them. Why not enter the Maidstone Awards and the Ashford Awards 2020? Do it now, they say. You go to www.businessawardskent.co.uk.
Cool. There's lots coming in still. Tracy Ferguson has said, haha, Paul and Jules, not like you to miss a pun. Being privy to the man taking his laptop into the loo. Fantastic conversation with Bronwyn.
Oh, that's because I went to the loo during hear it. I'll listen on catch up.
Yeah. She also says, interesting how stress affects your body, both physically and mentally. In me, it goes straight to my back and shoulder. Hope you can get a nice massage, Paul, for your neck. Bronwyn raises important points for physiological responses, which affect us subconsciously and add to stress levels. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Stress affects everything. You start gritting your teeth. Yeah. And
Athel Bray said, there's nothing like a good plunge and push-up.
Well,
Chris Hyde has said, but surely any business that has a website is an online business. You would have thought so, Chris.
Yeah.
And the lovely Vicky from Pink Spaghetti PA Services, Thanet and Canterbury says, talking of healthy eating, it's great to see the new NHS adverts on TV, which presumably cost a fortune, but then they're followed by adverts for Deliveroo and Just Eat. Absolutely. The whole thing's gone to pot. I mean, There's no joined up thinking about anything any longer. It's we just completely lost the plot.
Yeah, they're sort of, to me, it's like they're bouncing from one thing to another, and they're like headless chickens. And the Boris, the build thing. Yeah. I think we need to be very careful about that as well. Of course, we want housing, but we don't want it on, you know, they're building where we are on parks and things. And Faversham is terrible. They're just thrusting up estates everywhere.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity to gain new marketing insights. It's Kent Business School, and they're seeking an SME with marketing challenge to be solved by their MBA students. This exciting project will begin in October and take place over the course of 1 week. And during this time, our highly skilled MBA students will develop proposals based on the scenarios impacting your business. You will then be able to use the proposals as you wish. To find out more, please contact kbsbusiness@kent.ac.uk. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's a really good opportunity for someone to work with MBA students at the University of Kent. They've got quite a few good schemes coming out of the university at the moment. Kate from Athelbrae said, if I have to ride a bike for fitness, I'll definitely end up taking up NHS time. Wobbling along on a main road is not the way to get or keep fit for me. And she's got a fantastic gif of a raccoon on a bike.
And you know, why aren't they wearing helmets? Don't go on a road unless you're going to wear a helmet. It's just mad. They should be mandatory.
Cool.
I'm reading some of the ones that
you're reading ahead, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'll do an email while you're doing that.
Do that.
Yeah. There's an HMRC update, key dates for the coronavirus job retention scheme and actions you might need to take. You need to submit your coronavirus job retention scheme claim for periods ending on or before the 30th of June. You need to do that by the 31st of July. So that's the day after mañana. This is the last date you can make those claims. You need to have made a claim at any point on or before the 31st of July to be able to make a claim for future months. So if you've never claimed before the 31st of July, you can't claim in future. So you must make a claim now. Then from the 1st of August, the scheme will no longer fund employers' national insurance and pension contributions for furloughed employees. You will have to make these payments from your own resources. And that's a really important thing to look out for, because that's quite a significant chunk of money. So from the 1st of August, the furlough scheme no longer covers employer national insurance or pension contributions from the workplace pension. And then from the 1st of September, you will have to start contributing to the wages of your furloughed employees. Grants will be for 70% of usual wages in September and 60% in October, but furloughed employees will continue to be entitled to receive at least 80% of their wages. You will have to make up the difference. So if you're not going to pay 100%, you've still got to pay 30% of their wages in September and 40% in October. So very important changes to the coronavirus job retention scheme and the whole furlough thing.
I was listening as I came in, as I was winding down the Kentish lanes, about jobs. There was, for example, a Mayfair wine bar that was opening, and they had pre-lockdown 40 applications for front of house. Post-lockdown, they had something, you know, thousands.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And, of course, lots and lots of people who are highly qualified going for hospitality bar jobs and things like that. Mm-hmm. Innovate UK, as part of UK Research and Innovation, is investing up to £55 million to fund single and collaborative research and development projects as part of the Sustainable Innovation Fund. And the aim of this competition is to help all sectors of the UK rebuild after the effects of COVID-19. All projects must be led by a business and include at least one SME. Proposals can either be from a single business or a collaboration. And this competition is round one of a potential three. So round one is the temporary framework, this competition. Round two is de minimis, which is opening July 2020. Round three, temporary framework, opening September 2020. And this competition closes at 11 a.m. UK time on the deadline stated. So your project's total eligible cost must be between £100,000 and £500,000, and each organisation working alone or in a collaboration can claim a maximum of £175,000. you can go to apply-for-innovation-funding.service.gov.uk to see the overview and summary of that. Innovate UK. That's exhausting, that one.
Yeah. Just a big shout out to all the Zoe Cairns crew from the July challenge of the ZC Social Media Academy in their Twitter chat today. Thank you so much for joining in with us today. Don't forget, you can follow Jill Sirkin or Vanilla Web, that's me, on the Twitter, and we will definitely follow back. I have shouted out for everyone I've seen. If I haven't given you a shout out, then please tweet me again at Vanilla Web. Use the hashtag BBunker and I will try and give you a shout out before the end of the show. But I think I've covered everyone so far. But I wouldn't like to miss anyone because that's not nice.
So Pink Spaghetti is saying there's a big difference, isn't there? I often just have to get away from work some days because I end up faffing and not being productive. But I think I should be at my desk regardless. Better to step away for an hour and then be productive. Totally agree. Have proper breaks. I think that's, you know, we tend to sit there and feel guilty nowadays if we're having lunch.
Do you know, it's one for most businesses, most service businesses anyway, we haven't let go of the 20th century thing about doing things by the clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like working 9 to 5 or whatever.
Yeah, or 6.
And, you know, but just putting in hours. But there's no need for that anymore. As far as I'm concerned, work is about what you need to do. It's jobs you need to do, tasks you need to do.
Yeah.
You do a task, go and have a cup of coffee, go and sit in the garden, go for a walk, go down the shops, do anything. You don't have to be there just to fill the hours.
Well, it's changed, isn't it? Because my dad, when I was growing up, he was a building society manager, and he used to go off to work 9 o'clock to Chelmsford in Essex, and he would come home for lunch at 12:15 on the dot.
Yeah.
My mother would serve up lunch. He would then mow the lawn and then go back to work and then come home at 5:15 on the dot or 5:30, can't quite remember, for his dinner.
Yeah.
And you'd have a whole evening then. I mean, we need to get back to things like that a little bit, you know, have
mowing
time
the lawn
lunch.
At lunchtime.
Well, just have time for lunch. Yeah, lovely.
Cool. This is very dear to my heart, and it's something I am heavily involved in myself, being as I am the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society. And I've got an email here from KDCS. We could never have imagined what this year would bring, with children missing out on their GCSEs and A-levels and the challenges of homeschooling. We know that so many deaf children have faced hurdles bigger than most in trying to learn from home, with ongoing difficulties of video calls, online learning, which did not take account of their needs, and they especially miss their school friends. Our annual award for educational achievement is the perfect opportunity to nominate that special child who has showed dedication against the odds, have faced these challenges head on and had their own successes regardless of the difficulty. Academic achievement is not always the most important thing here, but positivity and resilience during such a difficult time is something we think should definitely be celebrated. If you know someone who deserves to be nominated for a deaf child's educational achievement, you can fill out a form and nominate them by going to www.kdcs.org. So do that. I'm lucky enough to present the annual achievement awards for the Kent Deaf Children's Society every year, and I have to say every year it really gets to me how some of these young people have responded to the things they face in life, and with the fortitude, tenacity and sheer hard work they put into achieving stuff, it's unbelievable. Here's some unbelievably uplifting and inspiring stories every year.
When is that?
Well, it's normally in November, but at the moment we just don't know.
They might do a virtual one if not.
They might do, but that's really difficult for
it's
us.
Not easy, is it?
Yeah.
You can apply for the EIRA innovation vouchers supporting business-led projects of up to 7.5k. Innovation vouchers can provide a small or medium-sized business working with AL or biotech or in the digital creative field with up to 6K to engage with academic expertise with the opportunity to foster a long-term partnership. The funds will pay for academic experts to provide a business with tailored expertise, and they can help you with scoping or developing new products, solving problems, developing your employees, carrying out feasibility study, scoping a new business idea, improving business efficiency, exploring other ways to stimulate your company's growth. And to find out more about this, you can go to their website, which is eira.ac.uk, to find out more about these EIRA innovation vouchers.
Fantastic. I see we've got a whole theme now running about dogs and dog-related tunage.
Yeah, don't get involved with that. You'll never. I suggested Hound Dog and then the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. You remember
that? Oh, Vivian Stanshall. I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
And then Chris Hyde came back with Donny Osmond, Puppy Love. Donny Osmond used to be all over my bedroom wall.
Was it an accident?
Just a poster. And then the recovery well complementary therapy. I'm sure she's got a proper name there. She says, I'm blown away by how you, Jewel Serkin and Vanilla Webb, hold coherent conversations, which I'm enjoying, by the way, and follow and reply to tweets at the same time. This is new territory for me, but has been fun. Yes.
Yeah, well,
we wing it, don't we, really?
We everything's winged on this show, don't you? Don't you worry about that. We tweet as we talk, don't we? And
But it is hard not to miss things, and we always hope that we don't miss anything.
Yeah, of course, yeah. You're right, it is easy to miss stuff. Especially if people don't use the right terminology or anything.
And that's usually us.
Michelle Ware of ALBN Cupcakes. ALBN Cupcakes. Michelle Ware has said, Business Bunker, hi guys, love the show. First time listener, one of Zoe Cairns' July crew, will definitely be tuning in again. I don't think I've had a shout out and would love a plug for my new baking podcast, which is launching next month. How to be a little bit naughty in the kitchen. Oh, I like the sound of that.
Naughty but nice.
Oh, Michelle, I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you've definitely got a shout out now. That's Michelle Ware. ALBN Cupcakes is her Twitter handle.
I mean, who doesn't love a cupcake?
Yeah.
And now I want one.
And now I want to listen to a Naughty Kitchen podcast as well.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what, Michelle, don't forget to let us know when it has launched. You can always tweet it in with a link to it, and we'll happily shout it out, retweet it, and all the rest of it. So do that. Give me a follow at Vanilla Web and link me when you're ready.
Women in business, unleash your awesome, they say. All these things you told yourself you couldn't do, it's not where you've been that matters, it's where you're going. So experience the magic of Taz Thornton, the most exciting speaker in the UK. She's on Thursday the 13th of August, 12 to 1:30, and it's a free event. We love a free event. kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk.
Cool. Everest Web Design have tweeted, looking for a website, get 20% off our startup packages. You can follow them at Everest W Design is their Twitter handle. Give them a follow and find out about getting 20% off your next website design.
Peter Searle, who's at Biz, at Biz ADVSR Invicta. Quite simple, really, once you've said it once. He says, I'll be hosting the free FSB Southeast networking with Metro Bank on Wednesday the 29th of July, which is mañana, 4 to 5, with guest speaker, guess who? Tracy Ann Barker.
Ah, that's funny. I just got a tweet from her.
Yeah, Tenacity. So it's at Tabor_official if you want to follow Tracy Ann Barker. So she's going to be speaking mañana, 4 to 5. And the hashtag for that is FSB, F for Freddie, S for Sugar, B for Bertie, Connect Online, that's the hashtag. And you can find all the details of that on bizradio.co.uk.
And Tracy Ann has actually been on as well. She says, Fav Show, Business Bunker, Vanilla Web and Jewel Serkin, your multitasking is impressive. I can even catch plums. There's actually a video of me catching plums while talking on air that's floating around on Jewel Serkin's Twitter feed.
Yeah, and eating plums as well, which we try not to do when we're talking. They're quite juicy. The FSB, there's another one from the FSB. This is Thursday, the 30th of July. 12:30 webinar, What Next for Tourism and Hospitality in Kent. Join an interactive virtual meeting hosted by UImage Consult to hear about plans for the recovery of the region's tourism and hospitality industry. The hashtag for that, for Twitter, is Kent Business Summit. Thursday the 30th at 12:30 webinar.
Fantastic. Chris Hyde of Chemgenics has been on. He says, the trick for new tweeters is to, during tweet chats, use the hashtag and follow the latest function. Oh, and by the way, Taz Thornton, who you just mentioned, is a speaker, lives around the corner from him.
Really?
Yeah. In Spalding.
In Lincolnshire.
Yeah.
My grandmother, here's another one, Jessie Trigg, was born in Louth in Lincolnshire.
Right.
What do you eat up there? It's all lovely sauces and pies and things, isn't it?
Yeah,
Do they say it? Ducky up there. Hey up, duck.
Duck. I think that's a bit more Derby and Chesterfield, isn't it?
But I don't know. I don't know. Ask him if he says
A up duck. Just say up duck. Do you say A up duck? No, I don't think he does. Jenny Gladdington has been on Business Bunker. So glad to have found the radio show. It's been exciting. Thank you, Jenny.
Tracy Ann Barker said, I'll check that out, but I don't know what it is because there's a whole load of tweets. I believe. No, I can't tell. I'll never know what she's going to check out. I'm sure she'll tell me. So she says, yeah, your multitasking is impressive. You've said that, haven't you? Who else? Well, it's just gone mad.
I know.
Hasn't it?
It has, and that's good. We enjoy it.
We enjoy the madness.
We enjoy the madness. Yeah. You join us in our madness. The show, Business Bunker, for those that are new to listening, the show's been on for 12 years now.
We used to be young.
And we used to be young, yeah.
We were
children when we first started this. Yeah.
We used to be in a studio with a skunk, as I remember.
And some llamas and stuff.
Yeah, but the skunk used to walk in and sort of wrap its leg around you. And
a porcupine. Yeah. It was Fred the porcupine who used to come in and steal the biscuits. But anyway, right from the early days, we've used Twitter as a way of communicating on air with our listeners rather than phone-ins, because we just didn't have the resources to handle phone-ins in the early days. And so we were one of the first to adopt Twitter as a way of interacting with a live radio show. And we really do appreciate it when people do tweet, because
it makes us feel loved.
It makes us feel that someone's listening.
Otherwise, just me and you.
Yeah, talking to each other.
You know, and we just sort of know all each other's stories now. I mean,
mind you, you've got to look at this video of me catching plums. I'm dead impressed with it.
You are. And left-handed and right-handed.
It's two-handed, and I was talking on air at the same time.
And doing the news and all sorts of things.
Exactly, yeah. The COVID-19 pandemic has damaged the entire UK economy, but it's been particularly severe for creative industries, from the arts, architecture to media design, publishing and graph companies. Creative industries are faced with a unique set of circumstances as they try to navigate through the crisis, requiring unique solutions in order to survive. There's a webinar being hosted by the FSB, the Federation of Small Business. They'll be looking at the skills and knowledge that can help you, including available funding routes, as well as how to support yourself financially using different best practice advice. Some best practice advice on how to access the new art sector fund that has been announced by the Chancellor. What technology solutions you could be using, and how to take into account intellectual and overall creative rights with your work. How to get back to business and restore your finances. This is a free event that you can participate on Friday the 31st of July at 2 p.m. So that's this Friday at 2 p.m. with the FSB if you're in the creative industries. And the link to register is events.streamgo.co.uk/creative industries. events.streamgo.co.uk/creative industries.
And I think we're wrapping up now, Paul Andrews.
We are.
Yeah, doesn't time fly? That is the fastest show ever because of all the tweets from Zoe Cairns' Twitter gang.
Academy Tweet Chats, which was fabulous. And it was really nice to hear from all those people enjoying the fruits of Twitter. It's the thing that makes Twitter nice, as opposed to the political nonsense that makes it not nice.
Yeah, nice chats.
Yeah.
Nice. And Canterbury Brewers, I've got to check them out because they're going to do a plum beer now, they say.
Oh, are they? You know they're the foundry next door to us.
Yeah, so I could do a bit of both. I could go there and then go to yours and do a bit of work.
Absolutely. We're almost at the end of the show, and I've still got stuff coming in.
I think we need to mention our sponsor
again.
Well, yeah, because I make it, we've got to finish.
We do. I did mention the sponsor at the start of the show, and I'm quite happy to mention the sponsor again at the end of the show. We are very pleased and proud to work with Whitcombe HR, who provide HR services to small and medium-sized businesses located in the southeast of England. And you can find them by going to their website, which is whitcombehr.co.uk, or you can find the link to that website on the Kent Business Radio website.
See, you say it so well.
Yeah, but we've reached the end of another week. We will be back next week with another show. Thank you, everybody who joined in this week. Thank you for your tweets, your emails, and to our two fantastic guests, the lovely Kate Merrin of Athelbrae Limited and Bronwyn Rich of This Way Up.